Our sermon scripture this morning comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. I encourage you to turn to it in your own Bible or in your pew Bible along with me. To the angel of the church of Smyrna write, "These are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death." This ends the reading of God's holy word.
Please stand if you are able, and let us sing our sermon hymn. Our sermon hymn is "Because He Lives," and it is found on page number 213 in your red hymnal. If you wish to follow along there, let us sing.
Thank you. may get as comfortable as you can in a church pew. If you've been here since 2018 or so, you might have heard me preach once in a while on a subject where my lower back fusion surgeon told me I could no longer climb a ladder, I could not shingle a roof, all those kind of things you're not supposed to do. I wish my surgeon would have told me all you have to do, Eric, is lose 35 pounds and walk 2 miles a day, and you could still do all those things. Because I have been. Habitat House in Swanton, I continue to kind of oversee that build, and we needed to get the roof papered yesterday. And so I was up on the roof feeling great, artificial knee whatsoever, and safe. And it's a kind of an odd-shaped house for Habitat. It's a little longer than normal. It's got a pretty big roof on it. And on the lower section, there was a volunteer there helping me, and we got that done pretty quick. But then on the bigger section, you had to get up on an extension ladder to get onto the roof. And I was up there, I got the first row down, and a safety board so I couldn't slide off. And he got to the top of the ladder, and he looked at the roof, and he shook his head. And I said, if you don't feel comfortable, you don't have to get out on the roof. And he looked at me, and he was retired, you know, and this is what he used to do, and it was that struggle of, you know, wanting to be up there, but he just didn't feel comfortable. And I said, it's okay, I can do this. Because for once, I felt extremely comfortable. Are we comfortable in life? Are you pretty comfortable? I mean, did your heat come on last night when it hit 32 degrees out in the country? Are you comfortable? You have nice clothes on? Did you have a good meal whether you ate breakfast or not? Are we pretty comfortable in today's world? Probably. I like that word, probably. Because it's different from person to person. But we're going to focus in on the aspect of being comfortable. Because we are so comfortable, we cannot transport ourselves back to the first century church when Jesus Christ wrote his seven letters to the seven churches. And today we are looking at his second letter to the church in Smyrna. I love that name. I just can't spell it. I always have to double check. To the church in Smyrna, because they were suffering. They were in pain. They were not experiencing comfort. So let's see what Jesus has to teach us in today's word from the letter to the church in Smyrna. In these seven letters, we're going to make six of them, or I'm going to try to do six sermons over seven churches because I ran out of a Sunday, and we've got to start Advent on time. So somehow it'll all work out, or you'll hear the seventh church in January. But there is a structure to these seven letters. There are seven parts to each, sort of, because today there's only six. There's no verdict here as to the church was in trouble, this was going to be the problem. And so that's not here, but the addressee, the letter is obviously written to the church of, I thought you'd like to say that too, the church in Smyrna, right? Smyrna is about 40 miles north of Ephesus. Smyrna is a very wealthy city, and it is a city that practiced Roman or emperor worship. It was part of Rome, and they worshipped the emperor. And so in their wealth, as Roman citizens, they were required annually, everybody was required annually to take a pinch of incense and burn it on the altar with the godhead of Caesar right there. They had to burn that pinch of incense and say, Caesar is Lord. And they had to do that at least once a year. And when they had done that, they would get a certificate written out testifying that they had worshiped the emperor, and they were safe. Just a small pinch in three words: Caesar is Lord. But the Christians refused, because that was emperor worship, and Christians are to worship the only true God and his son Jesus Christ, our Lord. And they could not use the word Lord for any human. They reserved that title of Lord for Jesus Christ alone. And so they didn't get that certificate. And if you didn't have that certificate, you faced persecution. You could be thrown into jail. You could have your job taken away from you and be imprisoned for 10 days or longer. But that's all they had to do, was one little pinch of incense and three words. Wouldn't you have done that? I mean, one day, and then the rest of the year, you could have worshiped as you wanted. But the Christian church in Smyrna knew if they gave in just one little, then they would lose their life to the sin of the world. So Christians in Smyrna were battling the Roman government and Caesar, but there was also a Jewish community that was focused in on wealth rather than spiritual health. And so that Jewish community also hated these Christians. And so they were persecuted by the Romans and by that hostile Jewish community. And through his letter, Jesus is reminding the Christians that lived in Smyrna, he's reminding them that they served the risen Lord, who was victorious over death. So that's the addressee this week. And the speaker once again: these are the words of him who was the first and the last, who died and came to life again. Drawn once again from Revelation chapter 1, this time verses 17 through 18, and divine identifying the speaker as Jesus Christ. In that phrase, who died, Jesus identifies with the suffering of the Christians in Smyrna. They faced imprisonment and they faced death. And they knew that Jesus had been imprisoned and Jesus endured death. So he shares what he has in common. And then there's the aspect about the knowledge in verse 9. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. How can you use the word poverty and rich to talk about the same people? I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. If you look at that verse, Jesus Christ truly knows. Twice he writes, I know, I know. Jesus knows their afflictions. He knows the persecution they are facing. He knows that the Christians are not being allowed to be comfortable. They're facing this every day. Jesus knows their poverty, their material poverty, even though they lived in a city of wealth. And Jesus knows the slander, the false words of accusation that they are facing. And you think about those Christians, they are left to live by their faith. By their faith in Jesus Christ. They trusted in the Lord, both in this world and for the next. That situation in Smyrna was similar to what's written about in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 34. Where the Hebrew writer says, remember those earlier days after you had received the light, a reference to receiving Jesus, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Those Christians in Smyrna, they were standing their ground. They were not going to burn that pinch of incense or say, Caesar is Lord. They were going to hold to their faith no matter what. When you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering, sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. It's not about the material. It's about the spiritual possessions that were lasting for those Christians in Smyrna. It's the contrast between material poverty and spiritual poverty. And so that's the knowledge Jesus has of the Christian church in Smyrna. And then he offers a corrective command in verse 10. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Those are easy words. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Jesus acknowledges that they're going to suffer. And words can't just prepare us. We have to have faith. But we have to face what we suffer without fear, knowing that God and Jesus are with us. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Some of you are going to be imprisoned. Which ones of us? How do we know? Because we're all called to be faithful. We all have to be willing to face that suffering, that testing, and rely on faith and rely on support and encouragement of one another. And then he writes, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. We're pretty comfortable. I don't know how many of us actually face afflictions and suffering because of our faith. Because of our faith. But the suffering that they're experiencing is due to their faith. It's not about sickness. It's not about being hungry. It's not about being able to pay the next bill or whether we can afford the next family vacation. That's suffering in our day. The suffering that they were experiencing had to do with their faith. And they stood their ground. They stood their ground. They were fired from jobs in persecution of the gospel that they believed in and lived. They were beaten and robbed, and they were thrown in prison for their beliefs. But we suffer too. We suffer because of our sin. We suffer against the ways of secularism and the ways of the world. We see everything the world likes and preaches and does, and we want those things. But a little sin can turn into big sin. And so we suffer because of the world in which we live. Just like the Christians in Smyrna suffered because of the world in which they lived. So this letter has great impact for us. Do you like living without knowing what's coming next? I like to follow a schedule. And I have to be flexible because that schedule changes. But I like things mapped out. I like to know what happens next. But when things change, we can't get fearful. We can't get upset. We have to have trust that all things will work to the good of those who love the Lord. The Christians in Smyrna were suffering because of righteousness. They were seeking to be righteous before God. And as we seek to be righteous before God, we do not have to worry about death. We can face death in this world in peace, and we can know the assurance of eternal life. I want you to think about Daniel in the lion's den. All Daniel had to do was pray to the other God. But Daniel refused. He stood his ground. I want you to think about the people in the scriptures that were tested. They were tested to show their strength of their faith in God. Think about Abraham, who longed for that son, and he was called to sacrifice that son. To think about Moses, who wandered in the wilderness. To think about Job, who had everything taken away, and yet he stayed faithful to God. Think about those early disciples, when they watched Jesus rise up before them on the day of ascension, and they were there left, worried they were going to face the same persecution that Jesus, their Lord, had faced. Their faith was tested, and their faith held, or there would not be a Christian church yet today. So if you're too comfortable, I challenge you to think about what that comfort is. If you're comfortable in faith, fantastic, and that's wondrous, because that's the power of God working in your life. But if you're worried or concerned about where your relationship with Jesus is, know that the problems of the world can be a testing of our faith. In John 16, 33, Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I will overcome the world." James 1, 12, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." The crown of life that only can come from Jesus. In 1 Peter 5, 4, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." We don't just live in this world. We live with hope in the world to come, where we will receive that crown. And then the letter ends with the exhortation and the promise. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death." It's the death in this world, and the second death is a reference to the death of hell. "He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death." So the challenge for us as believers is to overcome through our faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, in the sufferings and the trials that we each face, whatever it might be, material or spiritual, Lord, may we rest secure in your love and in your power and in your grace, that we would continue to live for and worship you and to be your servants. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Gracious Father, we are called to give back to your church, to those in need, those who aren't comfortable, those who are suffering, and those who are serving on the mission field in your name. We ask that you bless the gifts we are ready to present to you, that they may be used to bring glory to your name. In you we give thanks for everything. Amen. I now invite our ushers forward to collect this morning's offerings. Thank you.
I invited ushers to come back in and receive our second offering for our capital campaign project. And while they're doing that and while you share, I will share that the building committee has met and received two bids from general contractors for the project. A small group of the committee is now working to meet with the architects and with the low bid for the general contractor and get some of the details of the bid and the budget worked out so that we can make a presentation to consistory and ultimately to the congregation. So that's still in the works, and every month we get one step closer. Would also share with you that dependent upon the fluctuations of the church investments, we remain about $235,000 short of the $2,356,000 budget. So we're getting there closer and closer. I asked Mary, our church treasurer, to give me some information that was going to end up on the screen, but that'll be next time, so your work is not wasted. But we do know that the statistics are showing that this second offering is bringing in more money as if we didn't have it. So thank you for your faithfulness to this project and ultimately to the Lord.
Please stand if you are able and let us sing our closing hymn at this time. Our closing hymn is Alleluia, Sing Alleluia, Sing to Jesus. It's found on page number 233 in your red hymnals. Then we will have our spoken benediction. And then after that, we will close with our benediction and song. It is Through It All, and it is found on page number 507. I believe it is listed as number 207 in your in your program there. It is number 507. So let us sing Alleluia, Sing to Jesus.
Alleluia, His throne. Alleluia, His.
People of faith in Jesus Christ, go forward with his love, with his power, and with his grace. Amen.